ready to talk about? We talk for another. Dan, Aaron, and Tony, ready for another installment of the Design Intent?
Yeah, I've got a quote that we can start out with.
Give us your quote, Dan.
Okay, so this...
Get up into there, into that mic there, big boy.
We can probably do this, right?
If you want to. I don't have biceps like Aaron Hernandez to hold.
You can tell he's working out.
Look at that. Look at those things.
Okay, so this is a quote from SpaceX's Benji Reed. Benji Reed is the director of crew mission management. He spearheads the company's development and certification under a number of programs. So his quote, this was an article talking specifically about the design of the space suits and how they're different from, you know, the ones that NASA has previously done. He said safety came first in the design and manufacturing, but their look was a close second. It's important that the suits are comfortable, safe, but are also inspiring.
Yeah. Well, here's the picture.
There you go.
And it's it's almost you kind of mentioned it when we kind of talked about this before, was it looks like something when we were kids, what they were sort of imagining what space would look like
in the future.
And that's what it looks like. It's almost, to me, it almost looks like a caricature, but not in a bad way.
Right.
Like it looks not real.
Right. Just because we have in our mind, like, okay, this is what spacesuits, real space, you know, real in quotes spacesuits are supposed to look like, right?
Right. Well, let's back up a second. Okay. So we're talking about SpaceX, and this was either yours or Aaron's idea was to talk about SpaceX. Whose idea was it?
I think I brought it up.
Okay.
Well, I said we could talk about space, and then Daniel was like, oh, we could talk about SpaceX. I think he started telling me about the design of it.
Well, so... First off, I have to apologize to SpaceX for not having any sort of any knowledge or even interest in wanting to know much about SpaceX, because I was just not really, it was never in my radar.
Sure.
Not like when I was a kid and the space shuttle was launching. And you know, I guess maybe now as an adult, it seems like, okay, we've done space. It's not that interesting anymore. But when you brought it up and said, hey, let's look at SpaceX, I just kind of shrugged my shoulders because you sent an email. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Okay, well, it'll be interesting. And then I started digging in and looking at what they're doing, reading about the company, reading about the rockets, looking at the videos. And it's like a 180-degree turn for me because, like, that's what I want to do when I grow up, is go work at SpaceX making that kind of stuff. It is so badass. It is the coolest. All this equipment that these guys are making, the suits, their rockets, everything about it is just really, really fascinating and really beautiful.
Well, and I think that points to that quote I mentioned where he said, you know, obviously they got to make them functional and safe and everything else, but they also want to make them inspiring. And I think sort of the broad stroke that I think is important to talk about is that inspirational, you know, the inspiring part, which has to do really with how it's presented, how it plays up the imagination. And that's really, and it captures sort of the emotion of it, right?
Right.
And that's the importance, or one of the important things of design is basically the emotional piece of it.
Right. Right. No, it is a it's just so interesting to look at it and just to look at these guys wearing these suits in this picture, because it just looks like they're going to a Halloween.
Halloween. I mean, if you think back at, you know, 2001 Space Odyssey, which came out, I don't know when exactly that came out, but certainly long before even 2001. You know, it's stuff that you could see that would, you know, fit perfectly in that movie, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It. super awesome. I could only imagine what the design process would be like getting to work with these guys,
right.
Seeing how they do it.
So I did reach out to, you know, a week or so ago to a designer there. So
okay.
You can go to, I'm not going to mention anybody's name or anything,
yeah.
But if you go to, you know, LinkedIn or whatever,
yeah.
And search under industrial design, you'll come up with some names. They never responded. Now, I'm going to guess they're probably under some pretty strict, don't talk to anybody about anything kind of guidelines.
Well,
but
maybe when we're done with this and we get it uploaded, you can send them a link and say, hey, we'd really love to talk to
you. Yeah, that would be great.
And
even on non-specifics,
yeah,
let's talk about a process.
Design process, just really understanding. I'd love to know how they work with the engineers and the scientists.
Right,
because
yeah.
It's so, because this isn't, like they're not just making design for design's sake. I mean, you know, we talked about this. Like, it's pretty legit. Space travel is not
anything to fool around with.
Yeah, you shouldn't be taking things lightly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
With people's lives and just the weight that they have to think about, you know, so they can't have any superfluous details.
Right.
It's like when you look at the seating, it's ridiculous. Look at that.
I think they perfectly show how a designer or a design team can completely transform something. Because if you compare this to NASA, what they're doing, it's like a completely different approach,
yeah.
And completely different.
Well,
everything.
I don't think NASA takes into account any of the emotional piece of it,
right.
Which in some ways, you know, maybe that's good for them, but.
Well,
but obviously SpaceX is sort of blending it all together and
yeah.
Doing it in a fantastic way.
Well, these guys have no baggage.
Right.
There's no historical precedent that has been set. There's no old guard standing there with his hands crossed saying, this is the way we've always done it, right? I mean,
sure.
We come across this even in our line
sure.
of work. You get these old guard guys. Basically, they are commissioned with, hey, we want to go to Mars. That's
right.
It. We want to go to Mars. Super simple statement. And like looking at the seating and the way everything is built and constructed, it is, that's a masterpiece. I mean, this if it's not in any museums, should be.
It should be,
museum.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you look at all of the things that, you know, at least that the public sees, or maybe even other things, right? So there's the Crew Dragon capsule that the astronauts recently went to the space station in. And by the way, they're supposed to be coming back next week, so that'll be interesting to see that re-enter the atmosphere and come back in. You know, from the capsule itself to they have the obviously the Falcon rockets and the landing gear when the boosters come back down. I mean, those are super functional, but also they look great.
Yeah.
There's the, you know, the Falcon Heavy, and then there's the, I think it's called the Super Heavy or whatever it is that they're doing down in Boca Chica, Texas, which is basically the big booster and rocket that is supposed to, you know, is designed for this whole Mars mission. So, so it's all very fascinating. I was kind of like you, but maybe like a year ago, right, where I wasn't really paying a whole lot of attention. And then I came across some images, and it was like you do a double take.
Yeah.
Because it's like, wait a minute, what is that, right?
Yeah.
And then I've been and they do a great job broadcasting on YouTube of, you know, all the launches. And,
right.
And you could tell somebody spends time on how it's presented, right? Because
right.
they have a whole graphic presentation of, you know, a cycle of that the rockets and boosters go through at the bottom of the page. It makes it easy to understand the process of, okay, it's in this part of the launch cycle and sequence and all that. So I think it's interesting to think, okay, well, why is SpaceX doing it this way? Why are they doing it differently than it's been done before? You know, what advantages and disadvantages are there to doing it that way? I think one of the big advantages is obviously they're the first commercial company to put somebody into space, you know, with this recent launch.
Well, yeah, if I think what they're trying to do, or, you know, they're trying to democratize going to space. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to train 100 people to go to Mars and build structures. So I think this is the first step to making it seem feasible for more than, you know, just like a group of five super trained people. I think, like, it just seems, if you look at the what's it called, the Dragon, the space capsule, that
the Dragon.
Yeah, if you look at it, the UI and the UX just seems doable somehow.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem overwhelming like they used to.
Right. Well, you've seen the I've got it here, the meme of, let me get to it here, the meme that shows the controller from the Saturn V, and then it shows
Does it do like a comparison?
Yeah, here, let me show you. It was somebody put it on Twitter. Where is it? Here it is. Here. And you can see just the differences from 1967. Here's O2 space shuttle, and then here's the crew Dragon. And so just
from
see
1967, 2002 to 2020.
Yeah, and you can see where they have, and I've read a little bit about it, where they're putting the primary controls are out, like the main ones that they use all the time, and then they have the sort of touchscreen that controls everything else. Didn't look at it compared to the other guys, where it's just a series of toggles and little screens and things.
I would imagine the room for, or the, you know, the, based on, you know, having 100 switches and buttons, your error rate is probably much higher.
Yeah.
Of accidentally pushing something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me think, like, how many industries are out there that could really use this. Like, it makes kind of like Boeing outdated and,
yeah,
I don't know, like
what if SpaceX went into commercial airline manufacturing? What would they do?
Sure.
I mean, you just said today, the today, July 22nd, the stock for Tesla is 1600.
Yeah, well, yesterday was at 1600 and change.
Okay. And what,
last
a year
fall
ago
it was 250.
Yeah. So they've changed automotive, what we think about in terms of cars, electric cars, and then actually being pretty nice cars and desirable cars that maybe most people would want. I know I like them much better than some of the clown cars that we've seen that are electric cars. So what would they do to a jetliner?
Right. Yeah.
Even like I'm into flying and I want to learn, but even the small aircraft seem a bit overwhelming with like a bunch of things going on.
Equipment and dials legacy stuff. So that's a good point. So if you were to take sort of their sort of company ethos and process and apply that to almost any kind of industry, right?
Yeah.
Military.
You know, military or anything that's been around, let's say, for a little bit. You know, when I first saw their booster rockets basically land themselves on land and then on like a floating platform out in the ocean, which has to deal with, you know, waves and tide and wind and everything else.
Yeah.
I was like, this has got to be some sort of computer,
it,
you know,
CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah, it totally looks fake.
But it's not. That's the amazing thing. It's just like, wow. And then you see the boosters launch. When you see them launch on land and they're kind of launching simultaneously, like multiple rockets at the same time.
Right, right. Here, the video, they're going
to... Yeah, it just takes it to a new level.
They're going
to
come off and then go down.
Oh, so the fairing. So we actually have a little YouTube video going on here. Oh, this is where he's launching his car.
The Roadster.
Yeah, so they actually did a launch 2 days ago of a Korean satellite.
Oh, really?
Yeah, successful launch. Which is very interesting. So it was like they had a contract. So basically, I think it was maybe Lockheed Martin or someone else maybe built the satellite for the government of South Korea, and then they obviously subcontracted out the launching of it into space to SpaceX. But another funny thing, at least I think it's kind of comical, of a solution, but effective, I guess, is the fairings at the very top of the rocket. So they split off, and they have a ship that that basically tries to chase those things down, the fairings, mm-hmm. and then it deploys like this giant net. As the fairings are sort of tumbling into the atmosphere and they tumble down, that the ship catches them on the net. So, this is
so
funny.
This is real. Before that was some CGI. Yeah. They were showing how it would work, but
I think it would be
this doesn't look real.
I know. That's the amazing thing. They fire and then the landing gear deploys.
The feet come out and it just sits upright perfectly. It's ridiculous.
I'd love to be in a boat, right offshore, of watching this happen, seeing that come down in real life.
That's awesome.
I think if someone is to colonize Mars, it's great that this company is the one starting it.
Yeah.
Sure. Because
how is everything up there going to look?
Yeah, and they're. So Google searched the SpaceX fairing ship that catches it. You'll mm-hmm. see like the little net. It's kind of comical looking.
So that's just a dummy in that car?
Yeah, that's like a mannequin guy. I'm sure they probably put some instruments in it and made use of the whole thing.
So what's it called? The SpaceX Recovery?
SpaceX Fairing Recovery Ship. I don't know. I would just do a Google search, not a YouTube.
Yeah. Recovery video here. See?
Or maybe watch a live video of it happening. But yes, I think they're a little slightly less successful on catching the fairings. Like they reuse them even if they probably plunge into the ocean. But it's got like this big giant net that's probably like four times bigger than the footprint of the ship.
So the helicopter drops it off.
I think that's a parachute or something.
Yeah. Well, there's the boat. There's the chute coming out. Interesting. So I didn't even know they had this part.
Yeah, no. The ship is the funny part. Look at that thing. So, you know, imagine the design process or coming up with ideas, or how are we going to catch this thing? You know, how about a giant net?
Oh, they missed.
Did they miss it?
Yeah, they missed.
Anyways, yeah, on this launch that they did a couple days ago, they caught both of them.
Oh, really?
Both the fairings, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But isn't that kind of funny? It's sort of like, imagine the guy steering the boat. I wonder if it's a drone, like, you know, if it's remote controlled.
Autonomously controlled ship.
Their platforms are autonomous.
The ocean.
The rockets land on.
Yeah.
I imagine they're like, okay, if this thing doesn't go well, let's not have anybody on the drone ship. And they give them funny names, too. Like, one of them's called I Still Love You.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so when they were basically this rocket decided to come back, I guess they sort of play on that. So there's some folks, I don't know if it's official or not, but there's people that have some around the compound or around the location in Boca Chica.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're doing the big, giant, Mars rockets. Well, they'll show, sort of updated images and videos of the production of these, super heavy rocket boosters.
Right.
So I kind of watch that. It's pretty cool and fun to see what's going on down there. But, something as a takeaway that anybody can learn is, okay, how are they using the design of the product to their advantage?
Right.
So they're basically capturing the emotion of it, right? So,
right.
I think companies can learn from that is, you know, that's a way to get your message across and inspire and do all sorts of things.
Right. Well, I think, too, you know, design is always considered, probably because it's shown in TV, like shows, whatever, you know, Lifestyles of Rich and Famous. Mm-hmm. You've got like these, what is it, these real estate shows. I don't know if you guys have seen these. Yeah, some HGTV stuff, right? And it's they show design a lot, and or it's always perceived as being very expensive.
Sure.
Right. And or superfluous, not necessarily needed.
Right.
Oh, no. Function's most important. Well, here's the most functional thing that you could do, which is make a rocket and ship people into outer space. And it's still, to your point, it still brings in some emotional component to it.
Right.
Which is what design does really well as like really kind of humanizing what they've done. It really takes it away.
Well, it makes it accessible.
Yeah, yeah. It takes it from this super high-tech, overly geeky thing to really being more than just about shooting people into space.
Right. I think when you see the Crew Dragon and you see that, okay, here's how they're, and they showed it, you know, here's how they're controlling the rocket when they go into space and as they're approaching the International Space Station. You know, for me, when I was watching that, I'm like, oh, I could do that. This is just like, you know, an app on your phone or something, right? It seems that simple. So it sort of helps to make the mental leap of, oh, that's something I could do.
Exactly.
Even though I don't know if I would, but.
I don't know if I'd want to be on the rocket.
Yeah.
I think in that way, they also use it to their advantage. I wonder if the learning curve is different when you change the whole UI and UX.
They probably, well, here, so the two guys that went up, you know, they had gone on previous space shuttle missions, so they obviously had all that training before, but I would think, you know, a lot of these systems are automated now, so they probably have to know, you know, okay, if something goes wrong,
right,
what are the manual backups to it. But I would think there's probably a lot less or a quicker learning curve on a lot of the systems.
Yeah, it's really just really fascinating. It would be super awesome to be able to work on such a team, you know, developing something like this. It's a major milestone, super historically relevant, very important for humankind. It's really, really, really amazing. I can only imagine what it would be like to be on such a team.
Yeah, you would think, because they have done things so differently, right? In order to be able to do that, you have to have a leadership and also a team of people that you work with where, hey, you know, anything goes as long as it gets us to, you know, the end goal that we want.
I mean, I think it goes with what Tony was saying. It's like it's a brand new company. Like, they have no baggage. They had no money, so they were hiring interns out of school, you know, like 20-year-olds to engineer this whole thing.
Sure.
So I think that in itself brought a different perspective.
Yeah, something about the curiosity of being naive is in some cases a really good thing. You know, because if you don't know what you don't know, then you're not necessarily staring at that brick wall that you don't want to run into because you've never seen it before. Yeah, really, really cool.
It makes you think, what else? What have they worked on that you know, it maybe hasn't made it to the public eye that would be fun to see? You know, I think SpaceX was officially started as a company maybe 2002 or 2003, somewhere right around there.
I think it was 2001.
Was it 2001?
Yeah. Was the intention to achieve Peter Diamandis' prize? Because he had that prize, $10 million for the first rocket to be shipped and blown into outer space and then come back and land on its own.
Maybe it had to do with that.
I wonder if it had anything to do with that. Yeah, it's really cool. It's really just, you know, just looking at the imagery that they have up, looking at their website, and just kind of seeing just how impressive everything is and how beautiful it all is, and how surreal it seems.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really amazing. It's really nice. It's really nice to look at. I kind of think this is probably one of the most important things that I've seen in my lifetime in terms of what a company can do,
just kind of blossoming out of nothing,
right?
And having such a big impact
and doing it so well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you hear, you know, a month or two ago, I don't know where it was, somewhere over in maybe Eastern Europe, or maybe it was in Russia, where, you know, those guys have been doing rockets for a long time, but they tried to launch something and it blew up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not that these guys haven't blown anything up, but I think they've, because of how their process has worked and how they've tried new things and done it differently and done it so well, you know, they're definitely doing it right. So
yeah, the University of Houston has a space architecture program.
Really?
But a lot of their stuff, you know, their professors are, you know, old guys from NASA. And I mean, I don't want to...
You don't want to put them down?
Yeah, I don't want to put them down. But a lot of the stuff that they were designing still looked, you know, like 1980s stuff. Because I guess in their head, that was the parameters. So I wonder now what...
What are they doing now based on all of this?
What do they think about all this?
Yeah, it has to totally change their mindset because of what they originally thought that was only possible. And now there's so much more possible.
Yeah, and I have a friend actually that's doing his master's there.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's cool.
In the space architecture.
Yeah, in the space. He graduated with an architecture degree, and he immediately went into the space architecture master's program.
Yeah, like look at that rocket.
That might be an earlier one that they've done. Google Falcon Super Heavy.
Falcon Super Heavy,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Supposedly, they're called Falcon based on, you know, sort of a reference to the Millennium Falcon in Star Wars, but...
I want to see what SpaceX concepts of the colonization of Mars looks.
Here we go. Look at this one right here. So this one on the far right, the big tall one, that's the one they're building right now. So you can go, and they're basically building it in basically ring sections and sort of stacking these rings up.
Right.
So they've built like the nose cone of the rocket portion. This is the booster, and then this takes them up into orbit or whatever, and then this is sort of the where the people stay.
Right.
The crew area. And they're building sort of a launch tower to correspond with it in this Boca Chica facility. So it's fun to sort of see and watch the progress of how all of it's going together.
Yeah.
And again, you see it and you're just like, ah, that's not going to work, right? Yeah. You know, it's like, I can't believe that's going to happen. But then they make it happen. So it's fun to see.
Yeah, it's really cool. I would encourage anybody... to go and look and just see what they're doing, look at the details. If you like furniture design, if you like architecture, product design, there's so many cool little details. Even looking at the jet motor, how it's designed and how cool it looks, it's really really nice. Oh, here's a nice little imagery of I guess the
size and scale
of everything. There's the space shuttle.
Yeah. So I imagine, you know, back in the 60s when, you know, the space program really started gaining momentum, you know, based on the JFK initiatives of getting someone to the moon. I imagine, you know, sort of the newness of all that is to me, it's like, I mean, I was born in the 69, same as you, I think, but so I wasn't, you know, around for that, but I imagine... These guys are probably breaking just as new a ground as maybe those guys were back then. So.
Yeah. Well, they're doing it without the government.
Yeah.
Government funding. They're figuring out how to do it on their own, and they're doing it without
you know, like we said, there's no baggage, there's no there's no preconceived ideas, other than it's been done, we can do it. Let's do it as a commercial venture.
Sure. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, it's got to be one of my favorite things that I've seen so far in a long while.
Here, Google this SpaceX Boca Chica, and it doesn't look like there's a whole lot there. I mean, they have some stuff, but it's just like what they're doing there. It's like, okay, in order to support all that, this has got to turn into some massive compound of some sort, right? So if you look at it now, it's just sort of a cluster of buildings and rocket parts.
Here, like
yeah.
this?
Yeah.
So is this near the border? Is that where this is?
Down
in Mexico?
It's down by... It's at the very end of, I think, South Padre Island, maybe getting close to McAllen.
Okay.
It's like really down south.
Okay, way down there. But why did they pick that? Do you know?
I have no idea why they picked that. But
Texas.
Taxes? Who knows? Maybe cheap land?
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like
the land wouldn't be very much.
Yeah,
down there.
It doesn't seem like an appealing location if you're a high flying rocket scientist. But
it could also have to do with the proximity to Houston.
Yeah, I mean it's not that far from Houston.
Yeah.
It's mostly coastal, so I don't know if there's a proximity to large bodies of water.
Maybe.
Because I know they're now working hand in hand with NASA.
Yeah.
So that could have something to do with it. Also, the cool part is that since they are not a government entity, it's kind of opened the door for other companies to come in. Like, there's a few other companies starting where they're going to do like a space exploration, you know, like it's like going to be like a vacation where you can just go in space, you know, for however long. And it's
for a week.
I don't know if it's that fast, but it's going to be called space tourism. So now I think with more competition, we're going to start to see a lot more of these companies, which is, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, maybe, Dan, this gives us a reason why they're down here, because there was obviously some federal property down here. So maybe there was other things going on. And you know, here's SpaceX. Here's the state property, SpaceX property. Yeah, so they're all next to each other. So I imagine that has something to do with it, because they're probably getting commissioned by the government to
sort
put satellites up and whatnot.
So there's a master plan behind
everything. Yeah. It's interesting, though. It's really, really fascinating. It's a lot of fun to look at.
Yeah, so I would encourage anybody just do a Google search and take a look at what they've done, and you know, you certainly can appreciate the attention to design and detail, and watch a couple of the videos, and you'll just be blown away by what they're actually capable of doing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very cool. It's a good combination of science, engineering, design, kind of all put into one package.
Exactly.
That's very, very nice.
Yeah, they make it interesting, accessible. It's not hard to understand when you watch the videos and they kind of explain through things. I love it.
And the astronauts that went recently were... The ones that went in the Dragon,
mm-hmm.
I saw a video of them, and they were saying it's like super comfortable, and suits were comfortable, the seats were comfortable. I mean, they seem to really like it.
Yeah.
Well, they got a lot more space than they used to have. I don't have any pictures of the insides of
the capsule
of the old capsules, but here's what the Dragon interior looks like. I mean, they've got, you know, there's plenty of room.
Yeah.
Gloves are way thinner, and
mm-hmm.
they can use the touch pads through them.
Yeah, they seem much less cumbersome, you know, so obviously putting them on, wearing them.
It's because, like I said, I mean, it almost looks fake.
even
like it's not real.
Their helmets, like the visibility.
Yeah, they've got way more screen or not screen, but glass.
All right, so I'll reach out and
keep bugging.
Yeah, see if we can be able to talk to somebody about what they're doing and how they're doing it, because it's great. It'd be fun to learn more.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be great to know how the disciplines
they work together.
How do they work together? Yeah. Cool.
All right. Very good.
I guess that's it. Till next time.